I hope you enjoyed Thanksgiving yesterday. This is a new day, but we still come before God with thankful hearts and minds for His goodness to us in our lives. This week, I've been sharing with you a short story I wrote that deals with how we can give thanks to God even when we do not feel that we have reason to. Our main character and narrator is a husband and father who believes deeply in God and wants to express thanks to God, but is struggling to know how to do that in the face of tragedy. Now, if you have missed earlier parts of the story, please download the podcast of this broadcast from 590amtheword.com. 590amtheword.com. This will be repeated at the end today. I'm not going to repeat any of what I read previously, so if you're interested and this is your first day with us this week, you'll need to download the podcast and pick up the entire story there. I encourage you to do so. Our story continues now. This is part 5. It's the night of the day after Thanksgiving. I think shoppers call this day Black Friday. I guess when businesses look at their books, red means a loss of profit. Black means a gain of profit, so better to be in the black than in the red. I don't care what colors their books are, to be honest. There's no way I'm going to the mall today, or any day for that matter. There's all that traffic and those people, and this year the bad weather. Forget it. After the long day yesterday and the cleanup late into the night, my wife and I both stayed home. We didn't say much to each other. I didn't bring up the toast or my prayer or how one could come to terms with the fact that friends said literally nothing about Rebecca the rest of Thanksgiving Day. The family didn't say anything about her either. I guess my wife and I are like two worlds in our own worlds within the sphere of one world, and that is this old house. She has her area and I have mine. By now, you know what mine is, this little den. And I'm back here now after dinner, leftovers, with a can of my favorite caffeine-free Diet Coke on the counter. And here's my desk, and there's my journal lying flat, open in front of me. I've been trying so hard to record almost everything that's going on in my mind and heart and with my emotions over the last few months. I have to admit, on many days, journaling is like an obsession. Sometimes when I'm at work or on the phone or taking care of household chores, I dream about getting back to it. And definitely when I feel sad or sentimental, even angry. And I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, how do I be thankful to God for everything when we lost? My wife would say, God took away the most important person in our lives. There are two passages in my Bible that almost haunt me when I think about this. One of them came to mind yesterday when I said grace before the turkey dinner. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. The word everything there is almost unbelievable. Just how am I supposed to give thanks? Like, what does that look like? I mean, if I were God in heaven and I was looking down over the lives of everyone who lives, and I had set the expectation that all day, every day, and in every circumstance of life, people would give thanks, then how would I expect them to do it? Just say thanks? Thanks. Words. Take action. Should we do something to express thanks to God? Or is it more like our attitude? Can I call it inner determination, an act of the will? I will give thanks. I grit my teeth and bear thanksgiving. And then how do we give thanks in loss? Do you know how to do this? Does anyone know how to do this? I would guess this is why some people walk away from God when they experience someone they love being ripped and torn away from them. My spouse seems headed in this direction. But I have this desire in me to stay faithful. I feel more desperate for God. I want Him to take me to a deeper place in our relationship. Maybe I can put it this way. I think of my relationship to God as having layers. At first, I was at this shallow layer. Very surfacey. And then He seemed to pull me down deeper through some experiences I had as long as 10 years into following Jesus. But the real plunge deep down into loving God came with Rebecca and growing together as a family. Kids seem to have that effect. They'll either draw you more closely to God or drag you away from Jesus because you're constantly thinking about all that you have to do in your parenting, in your own strength, and by your own way. I tried to be a dad my own way, and it just didn't work, especially in her wild teenage years. So I personally became very dependent on my Heavenly Father. I wanted Him to father all of us. And now this. It's like being at the top of a bridge with a bungee cord tied around my ankle. I'm about to fall over the edge and go speeding down like there is no way I'll be stopped short of the water. Ah! And yet God, who, remember, pushed me off, is there to catch me. So I am terrified, but I'm full of comfort and peace and love all at the same time. Now, I learned to say this really only to my journal because I tried this analogy one time when a Christian friend asked me how I was doing, and while he didn't say a word in response, I could tell from the look of doubt on his face that he thought I was spiritualizing the whole experience of losing Rebecca. He quickly changed subjects. So here's my big question. How is a Christian like me supposed to talk about sincere faith, tested faith, when there is so much doubt about God in this world in which we live? And frankly, there is this frustrating wall of doubt in God from other believers. I mean, have we really gotten to the point where we think throwing ourselves at God's feet and clinging to Him is going to always be easy, comfortable, happy-go-lucky? Really? I mean, what Bible are these people reading? Well, maybe they aren't reading it. That's the real problem, I guess. But in everything, give thanks. And then the other scripture that's circled and highlighted and underlined in my Bible is over in Romans 1. It's at verse 21. Yeah, there it is, Romans 1:21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Man, I feel like I have to reread Romans passages again and again to get the meaning. It's so full. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I had never really seen the connection between not honoring God, not obeying God, and a lack of thankfulness, but there it is. They did not honor Him as God or give thanks. So for people who have no faith in God, of course they are not thankful for all the good things they experience in this world in this sense. They may be thankful that they enjoy all these experiences when they have them, but they don't stop to specifically thank God for them. They don't see them as coming from Him. And if you want to see someone get angry and demanding, wow, just take away something or someone they hold dear. Then we really see a person's true colors. And see, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to thank God when I have and doubt and blame God when I don't have. When Rebecca was here and everything was rolling along smoothly, oh, thank God. But when she is gone and everything is really rough and bumpy and life just gets turned upside down and inside out, oh, well, then no thanks to God. No, I resist this. I refuse this. I am not going to do this. That Romans passage is such a good warning. And so, as another day slips away, I'm left to wrestle with how to be thankful in tragedy. I do not have easy answers. There will never be easy answers, despite what others may think when they look at me and listen to me. But here's what I have. I have hints, clues, and ideas based on these two very dear words of God. I think this week in particular, Thanksgiving week, will always bring me back to this question. How do I give thanks in all circumstances? And it reminds me, too, to pray for others who struggle with this. I think before I go to bed, I'll do just that. Here goes another prayer into the pages of this journal. Lord, I'm not alone. You're here with me. I believe you're there in the kitchen with my wife, too. And I believe Rebecca is there with you. But I'm also not alone in this world. Many people experience tragedy. Maybe not like we have. Maybe no one has died, but there are tragedies all the same. So before I say goodnight, I pray that you'll be close to them. Draw them to you through Jesus Christ. Let them know that when we believe in you, we will be able somehow to give thanks in everything. Thank you, Lord. My friends, this is the end of the story. This is what I wanted to share with you this week. I hoped and I prayed that this would be a meaningful Thanksgiving reflection for you. Maybe you're struggling in your own life with some grief, loss, hurt, or tragedy. Would you write to me this weekend and I'll respond to your email and I will pray for you. Really, you can trust me and I'll keep it confidential. Often we need a friend that will help bear our burdens. I am willing to be such a friend. So let me give you my personal email address, which will be repeated in a moment. mark@markaswallow.com. That's mark@markaswallow.com. Please write to me this weekend and share with me what's going on with you. And then, please come back here on Monday at 4:30 as together we continue to learn who God is.